Welcome to Bandcamp. I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Dan, and this is the podcast where we read band books and try to figure out why they were banned in the first place. And this episode will be a little different today. Believe it or not, we've never done an episode like this, and we receive email, although to be honest with you, not a ton. I would like to do episodes like this all the time where we, you know, go a few months and every once in a while read emails from you guys, affectionately known as the scary book people. But honestly, we could get more. So if you want to email us, please email us at pod@bandcamppodcast.com. We'd love to hear what you guys think of the show. Also, we do read your reviews and we're so thankful. If you want to review us, please go review us too, wherever you listen. Spotify, Apple, it really does mean the world to us. Okay, Jen, let's read some emails instead of doing our normal episode where we read a chapter. Let's just kind of take care of some stuff that we have not taken care of in a long time.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so this is the first time reading them. So here we are from Alex. Hey, Jennifer and Dan, I am a recent convert to Bandcamp and loving every minute of it. As someone who is concerned about censorship, I'm curious about your take on how digital platforms and ebooks are changing the landscape of book banning. Do you think digital access makes it harder to ban books, or does it just open new avenues for censorship? I'd love to hear an episode on this topic. Boy, that's an interesting topic. I would kind of think it makes banning books harder, because now you can get basically any book you want in a PDF file if you search for it online, right?
Yeah, I know. That's like, I've read PDF books online before. I suppose it would probably be easier. Although, can you get banned books or banned anything really, banned content in China? Like, don't they have a government that can clamp down on the internet?
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, depending on who's in charge of giving you your internet service, and a lot of that is like political power. So depends on the political climate, the political reality, rather.
Yeah. And I do think that something we can all do, if we do have PDF versions of books that are on the banned list and that are even currently banned, normally it's weird to think of ourselves as creators or whatever, right? Because that's the word we're supposed to use now. But if a creator puts content out there, our podcast is free, of course, but if this was a paid product, normally, like if a band puts music out, I am all for the band getting paid for their work. Like, I don't really like it when people steal MP3s and all that kind of thing. But when it comes to banned books, it's a bad run for me to say, I am all for people sharing those books. If they're banned, I would imagine the author probably wants to get paid, but I would imagine the author's biggest reason for writing that book was to get that message or that idea, the thought, the story out there. So if we have a government that is trying to stop books from being shared, I think it's the least we can do is share those books, right?
I think that it truly depends on the political reality you're living in.
Yeah.
And right now makes it easier to share banned books.
Yeah, good point. Dear Bandcamp crew, absolutely. The whole crew, me, you, robot.
Thank you. Happy to be part of the crew.
I've been binge listening to your podcast, and it's become the highlight of my week. Your insights into the reasons behind banned books or book bans are fascinating. What is the most surprising or unexpected book ban you've ever encountered in your research? Something that made you go, really, that one too? Keep up the good work, Simone Patel.
I'm going to have to say it's our current one, A Wrinkle in Time. It's so mild. Like, it's just a really nice, dare I say, friendly book. There's nothing overtly political about it, as far as I can tell.
Boy, you're not wrong, but even like a book like the Gay Penguin Dad book, I don't know the name, I'm sorry, but, or no, you know, when it, like Charlotte's Web, that was on a lot of banned books lists, and it's like, why would you ban Charlotte's Web? You know what I mean?
But didn't Simone ask about which books we read? or was it in general?
Well, what is the most surprising or unexpected book ban you've ever encountered in your research? Something that
made you go, really, that one too.
As far as the books we've read, yeah, this is a kid's book, right?
Yeah, it's always the kid's book that the kid's books that kind of shock me. Like when we did a dual podcast collaboration with Burn This Book.
Yeah.
And it was Yoko.
Yeah.
About a sushi-loving kitten. It's silly. Silly to ban that.
That would have to take the cake. That's a really good question, Simone. Thank you for listening to us. Yeah. Yeah, that book should have been banned. You got this rogue kitten who brings sushi to a school lunch. You can't have that. Oh, here's book bans around the world. Your podcast is a beacon of light in what feels like an increasingly censorious world. It got me thinking about book bans beyond the U.S. Do you have any plans to explore how other cultures and governments approach book banning? I think a comparative look could be really enlightening. Warm regards, Felix NG. Well, we're open to read anything.
Yeah, it's actually something I never thought about before, is like book bans in other countries that are basically not Western. That's terrible of me, but I've only been thinking of it within my little world. I haven't thought outside of the Western world, but I wonder what books are banned in places that I'm unfamiliar with. Like, I'm not even that familiar with what's been banned in like Europe. So to answer your question, Felix, no, like I personally never thought of it, but I'd like to start. Like, you've actually sparked an idea in my brain. Like, I wonder what different motivations are in other places. Cause like with the one we're currently reading, A Wrinkle in Time, like people got mad because they were upset that Jesus was lumped in with other characters. So it was kind of like coming from a Christian point of view to ban it. I wonder in the non-Christian world, because there's a larger world out there, of course, like what books would those cultures want to ban and why? Yeah, it's a really good question. If anyone knows what's ban worthy in their country and why, let us know about it. That's an interesting idea.
Yeah. This email, I did not copy the name. I am so sorry, but it probably doesn't matter because this person sent an email in season two when we started season two. Hi, Jennifer and Dan, longtime listener, first time emailer. I've been tuning in to Bandcamp. Makes us feel like we're on real radio where you can tune in. I've been tuning into Bandcamp since you guys did To Kill a Mockingbird, and it's been quite the ride. Your podcast has opened my eyes to the issue of book banning, but I've got to ask, why do you think book bans have become such a hot topic recently? Is it just a political move or is there more to it? Would love to hear your thoughts on that. Sorry, I don't have your name. That's a really good question. I think it's, especially when that email came in, it's all Ron DeSantis making waves. And not just Ron DeSantis, but people trying to out-Trump Trump, so they have to go push everything so further right to I think, pander to an increasingly shrinking base of potential voters. So they have to keep pushing further and further right. And that's why you, I hate to say it, but that's why they have more kind of wackadoos. And you got, in order to impress wackadoos, you got to do wackadoo-ish stuff, to my take.
Totally.
This email is from Helen. I absolutely adore your podcast. It's like hanging out with friends who also like to read. I'm curious about what goes on behind the scenes. How do you choose which books to feature each season? How do you prepare for each episode? It feels like a lot of research and passion goes into your discussions. We got comments about that. And I'd love to get a peek into that process. Well, let me do the passion part and the amount of research we do. I wake up, Jen goes, are we recording today? And I go, yeah, when? And then we show up in our studio and I drink some soda and she reads and then I do whatever it is that this is.
I try my best to find books. I go to the PEN America website and I look at the list of books and I just, every once in a while I find one that, you know, we've been very limited, Dan, because we've been reading older books because we feel like it would be less infringing on copyright. Like, it's probably fine if we read a more current book, but we've been really nervous about doing that. We've reached out to a couple of authors. Apparently, no one gives a crap about who we are. But it'd be so great to read a more current book because, you know, it might be more interesting. Like, we've been trying to do different genres. Like, it was good to do To Kill a Mockingbird. And then we wanted to do a science fiction. And then, for whatever reason, Dan thought Huckleberry Finn, and then...
It wasn't me. Don't blame it on me. It's Phil from the Mandarin Orange. Phil, I know you're watching because you just commented about how much you liked that we did A Wrinkle in Time. This is all you. Phil, the problem is, Jennifer, here's why we don't do current books. Because Phil from the Mandarin Orange never tells us to do them. It's all on him. Well, part of it, too, I think you're totally right. But part of the reason, too, I think we want to try to figure out how to do some, you know, transgender, you know, there's a lot of really important things going on now that I wish we could do.
These are topics that used to not be even written about, really, like transgenderism, that have these type of characters in them. And man, I would love to bring those to light. But Dan, we're either going to have to just start reading those without talking to the author first, but I feel funny about doing that because these books are so current that, you know, they're trying to make their royalties off them. But
well, but I, you know what? I do notice that as our podcast keeps growing, now this is our fifth book, and in podcast years, that's like five seasons, right? I am noticing as we do reach out, at least now we're getting a little bit of notice and people are like, oh, that sounds really good. Let me get back to you. Then they never get back to us. But it's probably more on us that we should follow up more. But as I said, we're not that good at what we do. But we actually want to interview authors whose books are banned and have them be part of the show and even sit in with us while Jennifer is reading their words. I mean, I think that would be a fantastic thing we could add on the show every once in a while. Not expecting, you know, Ta-Nehisi Coates to like hang out with us for an entire season while we read, you know, his book or anything. But as we keep growing, that may be possible. So please keep spreading the word, you know, share the episodes, do whatever you can, because the bigger we get as a podcast, the more we can do stuff like that. Another, how we do pick books, we have to find a book that, you know, has been banned or challenged that neither of us have read. And, you know, Jen, I think you do like a really wonderful job reading, but you're not a trained voice actor.
No, not at all.
You know, Jen's a mom who reads to her kids, right? And I think you do like a wonderful job. And I enjoy listening to our podcast as a listener more than I enjoy listening to audiobooks. There's something about how you read that I think is really charming to me.
Yeah, well, thanks, Dan.
And in an audiobook, you're never going to hear Reese Witherspoon. And then she came in and shut the door. Well, why in the hell is she shutting the door? Dan, why is she shutting the door right now? It's like, all right. That doesn't usually happen. Okay, let me keep going here. Here's an interesting one. Hi, Jennifer and Dan. As a mental health professional and a fan of Bandcamp, I appreciate how you guys tackle complex issues with humor and depth. All right, before I keep reading, I sometimes feel guilty because I don't think we do any of that. I think we're just two people who read a book and then just talk about stuff that came out. Like, do you ever worry, Jennifer, that, like, I never want to come across as that smart?
Oh, Dan, I wouldn't worry about that if I were you.
Screw you, robot. I knew you were going to say it. Like, we're not claiming like we're super smart at anything, really. We're just people, like you are, when Jennifer's reading the chapter, that is, like I just said, literally the first time either of us are reading the book. And these are our initial thoughts about, you know, what's happening. But I appreciate that. Let me keep going because I think this is a really nice email from Marcus. As a mental health professional and a fan of Bandcamp, I appreciate how you guys tackle complex issues with humor and depth. Have you considered doing an episode on how banned books dealing with mental health topics impact those discussions in the broader community? Literature can be a powerful tool in destigmatizing mental health, and I'd love to hear your take on this. It's a really good email.
Oh, well, I mean, we should have this person on. I'd like to have that discussion with a mental health professional.
I do think like it is really sad. Like, I agree with you, Marcus, that if books are such a wonderful escape, stories, and it, I mean, it is truly sad. The thing that is really sad about especially current books that are being banned, I can't imagine how hard it is for a transgender teen to be in school right now. It's just got to be incredibly hard. And it makes matters worse when they can't go into the school library and find a book where somebody like them is, what's the word I'm looking for?
Represented?
Represented, right? I mean, because growing up, I could go in and read all of the Hardy Boy books I wanted. And I was, you know, it helped me. It helped me deal with whatever stuff I was going through at the time. And I wasn't going through a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are going through hell and they are so alone, I think. And it's just heartbreaking. And I just, it hurts me to think that these kids can't just tune everyone out, go to the library, grab a book and sit in a corner somewhere and read it and see that they are not alone. There are other people like them. And
you touch on, you know, transgenderism right there, but like all of the topics kind of deal with mental health. Like, and then the topic of mental health itself, I would love to do a show like that with a mental health professional, talk about how having representation of any sort helps to destigmatize it and therefore makes it less of a taboo subject and therefore makes the people who have those attributes or are suffering from or whatever the case may be, makes them more accepted into society and not as ostracized. Which is actually probably what's causing the issues, the mental health issues in the first place, right?
One of the clear, you know, like the common reasons that people want these books banned is because ultimately it usually comes down to people being different than them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is more of a mental health issue on their end. Like if you can't accept people are not like you, you got to deal with that. Because we're not all like you. It's not that big of a world. It's a small world and we all have to get along. Why don't you know what I always would say to my old dog, Jack, when I was walking Jack and he'd see a dog at the dog park and he'd just start barking. And I'd always tell him, Jack, the world is a small place when you bark at everybody. So true. So true.
So true.
But don't you think, like, is it weird to call people out on that? I'm not saying it's a mental health issue, but it's definitely something going on with...
It's a sickness. These are sick people that want to, like, take out entire communities or want to keep certain populations down, you know? It's just those sick people, like, they're power hungry, and that in itself is a sickness.
If any of you guys are watching, you fix you. Hmm. Books about new ideas are not the problem. You're the problem. You have to fix your attitude.
Fix your attitude, man.
I think that's most of the emails we got. We got some technical support emails. Not going to read those. Dear Dan and Jennifer, fantastic podcast, but my RSS feed doesn't work. All right, I'll tell you. No, so please email us at pod@bandcamppodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you. We meant to do this in a perfect world. I suppose we should do this when emails come in and then we can just during the episode that they're reading the chapters and we could just, oh, hey, we got a cool email and we can comment on it or something. That's probably a smarter idea, but it got to the point where we had these emails and people were nice enough to email in and we never recognized them. So we wanted to do that. We are back with our normal episode next time.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. All right, everyone. We will see next... Oh, hold on. Robot, we couldn't have done this without you. Today, you weren't much help.
But, he's a little help. We appreciate him.
He broke in to make fun of me.
Well, he's allowed to have his own opinions, Dan. Even about you.
All right. We've caused enough literary chaos for today. Thank you for listening, Scary Book People.
You can find us on Instagram at bandcamp_podcast, where you can connect with fellow scary book people, join in the polls and discussions, and you can vent about the evils of book banning. And we really do hope you join our community. We'd love to see you there and engage with you.
Bandcamp is produced and hosted by Dan Schultz and me, Jennifer Davis. All media used in this production was done so under the protection of fair use. See you next time.
See you guys later.